All right, so I want to thank Pastor Barbara for having me here tonight. I especially want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for me being here, and the Holy Spirit and the Father. I think I had gotten to a point in my life where I was ready to just kind of give up on everything and retire. Actually, I'd built my retirement house. And obviously, at the last minute, the Lord said, no, you're going back into the ministry, and this time it's gonna be yours. No one's going to take it from you. What it is I'm going to be teaching you today is something that's such a passion inside of my heart. Many years ago, I was flipping through the Bible, and I came through Hebrews chapter 11, and it was talking about things that were in heaven were actually tangible. And when I started to understand that heaven wasn't a place where it was misty and cloudy and little angels flying around in harps, but it was real, all of a sudden something just clicked on the inside of me. And then when I learned about the mercy seat, that the mercy seat was a judgment seat, but because the blood of Christ speaks, and it speaks mercy, and it's covering the mercy seat, it's now called the mercy seat instead of a judgment seat. And that just lit a fire inside of me. So what I want to pray first before I begin is that I have a very specific kind of a gifting. Mine is not quite like Pastor Barber's, but mine is prophetic. I don't give long paragraphs of words like Pastor Barber can do. I see things. As I see them, I do them. If I see me or the Father doing something with you through me, then I do it. Okay? I don't do anything unless I see it, because then I believe it's in the flesh. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything to you, and I'm not going to, you know, minister until the Holy Spirit says it's time in the way he has for me to do it. Okay? So the first thing I want to do is I just want you to just close your eyes, and I just ask you, Holy Spirit, I already know that you're here. Jesus, I know you're here. Father, I know you're looking down from heaven. And I thank you and I praise you for what you've already done tonight. Because you've showed your people that they are your people. And that you have even known them before the foundation of the world. And that you are drawing them to your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here on this earth. That you haven't left us and you haven't forsaken us, because surely, because of the things that are happening in this world, they must be very appalling to you, but you and your great love and great dedication stay for us. And I believe even if there was just one person left on this planet, that in your great love and mercy, you would still be here. Holy Spirit, I ask you tonight to impart to these beautiful people the anointing and the ability to see in the spirit realm, and for you to speak through me, for it not even to be my breath, but your breath, for it not to be my words, but your words, for it not to be my revelation, but your revelation. You're the one who needs to speak tonight. You're the one who needs to do tonight. These are not my people. I did not die for them. I did not shed my blood. I do not promise them eternal life. But you, oh God, do. And so use me, I pray tonight, as a powerful vessel. And as you speak, allow them to understand that it's not one-dimensional. It's two-dimensional. It's the physical realm and the spirit realm. And allow them to see what it is that you're speaking tonight. Give them the ability to receive deeper than they've ever received before. Allow your word to be imparted into them and change them, to click that thing inside of them that needs to be clicked, to ignite that fire within them that needs to be ignited, to give them that hope that they need, to let them know that it's not over. And I just sense tonight that someone feels like it's over. It's not over, or you wouldn't be here. It's not a lost cause, because if it was, you wouldn't be here. I don't care what it is. Even if it's sin in your life, it's not a lost cause, because Jesus came to set the captives free. And he's the one that sets you free, if you ask him to. And so I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Holy Spirit. In order to understand the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to understand it's two-dimensional. It's in the spirit realm as well as the physical realm. Anything that happens in the physical realm is done by faith and believing, and it's called a prophetic act. What happens in the spirit realm is what God does. And it's what changes you. It's what gets imparted into you. It's what gets fed into you. So one day here, Jesus was speaking to the crowd that was following him. And he was trying to explain the most important legacy that he was giving to the earth. When he spoke these words, it was like taking a sword and it was like slashing down, dividing the crowd of people into two. There were two groups. Those who believed and those who would not believe. If you choose tonight that you will believe, God will back you up. I mean, the word says it. He will back you up. Even if you say, I can't, he can. Then there were those who simply just didn't want to believe. They wanted to be offended. For the religious leaders, it caused absolute wrath and offense. But to those who the Father had drawn to Jesus, it provoked a desperateness for eternal life. And here's what it said. It's John 6. I don't know if any of you guys have your Bibles, but you can follow along with me if you'd like. If not, that's okay. So it's John 6, it's 51. But even before that, I'm gonna back up just a little bit. Because as we were worshiping tonight, God was just downloading so many revelations. I had to just start writing them down and add to what I had today. Let's see if I can. It's 45. It's John 6, 45. I think it was very interesting. He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has is a past tense word, who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So he makes that statement. I must have read that I don't know how many times in my entire life, and I just flew over it. And then I'm thinking to myself, why is Jesus saying, not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from the Father. He has seen the Father. But evidently, we knew God before we came to this earth. That's proof right there. It's in red in my Bible, or it's black and white in yours. But we knew him. And it's the Father who calls us to Jesus. If you're here today, you're being called to Jesus. It's him that's calling you. And then Jesus says this to the crowd as well. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He's talking about two different realms here, a physical realm and a spirit realm. We were just talking about this today. He's talking about him being the bread of life of which we have to eat of. And then he's talking about his body as well, being the flesh which he literally is going to give to the world. Jesus Christ used his body as a weapon. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. As the Lord was showing me tonight, it was absolutely amazing. So what Jesus is talking about here is a matter of life and death. You have no choice. But he also did it at the risk of invoking the wrath of the religious leaders and losing his disciples. Sometimes it was interesting even tonight when Pastor Barbara was speaking. When she speaks the truth, she has to speak the truth. It doesn't matter what the result is. You have to speak the truth at the risk of. Right? Because you have to find out where that sword's going to go, where that divider's going to go. The religious leaders are having a really hard time because there's a really big misunderstanding here. they're not receiving Jesus in the spirit realm. They're literally thinking of taking his arm and eating him, which is pretty gross, actually, when you think about it. Okay, but the disciples, on the other hand, are receiving it in the spirit realm. So let's talk about what communion is and what communion is not, or receiving the body and blood of Jesus. It's not a ritual. It's not part of a religion. Actually, when you think about it, Jesus was Jewish and so was Mary. Mary was not Catholic. Yeah, who was right? I used to be Catholic. Okay. Matter of fact, if you want to ask Jesus what true religion is, he'll tell you it's helping the widows, feeding the poor. It's love. It's giving of yourself. So the body and blood of Jesus Christ is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So a priest, and I think this is where the, you know, I was thinking yesterday, I was like, okay, Pastor Barbara said the Lord said I'm bold. I'm like, I'm not bold. God's bold. But I think this is kind of a bold statement to say. A priest cannot impart to you the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He can't do it. Jesus freely gives it to us as we believe. However, we need to believe in order to receive. So John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So what were they looking for? They're looking for the physical, their stomachs to be filled. They're not looking for the spiritual. They're not seeking the kingdom of God. They're looking for someone to just kind of feed them. But here he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give." So who gives it? Jesus. When does he give it? When you believe. The body and blood of Jesus Christ is a spiritual substance. It goes into your spirit. John 6:28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may do the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." We were talking about striving. It isn't always about what you need to do in the physical. It's about striving to believe. It's about striving to believe those prophecies that God had spoken over you, that you say, "Oh, there's just no way this could happen." It's about striving to believe the word of God when you read it. That's the work that we have to do, and it is work. So when you receive the body and blood of Jesus, we receive it by the level of depth of our understanding through revelation, which is by the Holy Spirit. It's not by taking the bread and the wine or the juice, but by believing. The deeper the revelation and the more we believe, the fuller the impartation of his body and blood. I remember when I first started taking communion at home, my mother was dying. My mother had something very similar to Lou Gehrig's disease. And I was seeking the Lord, and I was absolutely terrified of the fact that my mother was dying. And I remember the Lord telling me that I needed to just keep seeking him, and he said, "I want you to fast and pray 20 days, no food." And I said, "Oh, Lord, I've never done that before." And it was hard. But then the Lord said to me, "I want you to receive my body and blood. I want you to do communion." Well, me, first Episcopalian, then Catholic, then born again, but still had a bit of that religion, I said, "Oh, no, Lord, I'll go to hell if I take communion at home." And I had that fear inside of me. I kid you not. And so I went into Corinthians, and I dug, and I dug, and I dug, and I started reading it, and then I would take it. And I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. What was I practicing? My faith. And the more I practiced, all of a sudden I started having amazing experiences. I had times where I would receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I kid you not, I would literally feel it go into my body. I've had times where the fire of God would come on me. I had times where I was healed. I had times where I had amazing visions while receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, stuff that your mind couldn't even understand, only stuff that Christ could impart into you. So we take communion. It's something that we do in Jesus' presence. It's also not according to the building that you're in. You do it at home. It's not about the certain day of the week. A lot of times religion, Satan has used certain religions to bind people up. You can only do it once a month. You can only do it if so-and-so is present. You can only do it if. And I don't ever read here in the Bible that Jesus ever says that. Matter of fact, he says if you don't do it, you're not going to have eternal life. So it's having a relationship with him and also having a relationship with his blood. It's believing in its power and purpose and opening our spirits to receive it without fear or apprehension. In order to do this, we need to read about it. We need to meditate on it. We need to think about it. It's like chewing and chewing and chewing it in your mind over and over and over again. And you need to do this until something is actually, instead of a mind thing, it drops down into your spirit. Then you have a revelation. Now you've got something to believe. Now you've got something to receive the body and blood with. When that happens, it's a deposit of truth and it's a deposit of light. Feed your spirit. So tonight I want to give you some things to meditate on, some things to take home with you. I tell you tonight I'm just skimming the surface. It's going to seem deep, but it's just skimming it. Okay? There's so much to it because we're talking about Jesus Christ, who's eternal, who's has so many dimensions in him. So we're going to talk tonight about the seven different ways that the blood was shed. The first way was the blood that was shed from the sweats of his forehead when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was being tested at that point. I remember when I went to Israel, before I went to Israel, this anointed man came to my house and he said, God told me to come to your house to anoint you. You're going to go to Israel and you're going to have a very special encounter with the Lord. I'm like, okay, fine. If you want to anoint me, that's fine. When I went to Israel, I was sick for about 5 days, sick as a dog, horribly, horribly sick. And we finally got to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as soon as I walked in, because what it is, it's a building now that's actually, you've got the garden, but then you've got the building, and then you've got the rock. As soon as I walked in the building, it was like something took over me, and I knew exactly what it is I needed to do. It was almost like a little computer program that had already been programmed inside of me. I walked over to the rock. I put my hand on the rock. And I said, Jesus, help me to crucify those things which need to die and bring to life those things that need to come to life. And when I did, all of a sudden, the glory of God just came on me so powerfully, and I started singing in the Spirit. There's about 60, 70 people here, and I'm singing in the Spirit. Not only did I get instantly healed, but what had happened was, as I was singing in the Spirit, a girl was sitting like a few yards from me, and she came there because she was suicidal. And she said, God, this is my last chance. If you don't prove to me that you are who you say you are, I'm not going to live anymore. I will take my life. And she said that when she heard the singing in the Spirit, she heard the angels of God That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the doors that it opens up, especially when you pray a prayer like that. Today, people were praying over me. Felt so good. And then someone was told to anoint my head and made a cross on my head. And as soon as that cross was on my head, I saw in the spirit realm the cross, and the Lord said, receive the power of the cross to die. Receive the power of the cross to die. And he's not talking about be dead. He's talking about crucifying your flesh. And I kept praying it over and over and over and over and over again. And that's when I started to get set free, was when I started praying that. The cross will give you the power to crucify your flesh. The body and blood of Jesus Christ will give you that power. And that's what we need to do. We need to die so he can live through us. So the blood and the sweats of his forehead, this was for the victory over pain and suffering of the soul. When received, it gives us the power to submit our will to that of the Father. So we can receive this blood of Jesus and ask him to remove or purge us from any desire that opposes God and keeps us from submitting to him. These drops of blood attract God's angels to help us to die to ourselves and assist us in passing the tests of purification. When I say these bloods, the blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. But what I'm talking about is we're looking at it as how it was shed from different angles. Okay? So we're looking at Luke 22, 42 and 44. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. A couple days ago, the Lord reminded me of a time in the Bible where Paul says, I think it was to the Corinthians, he says, you know what? You haven't even resisted temptation to the point of shedding blood. Isn't that the truth? I mean, it's just so amazing, this message that God is giving me, and it's so parallel to what Pastor Barbara's been. And I've only been here for 2 weeks. That's God for you. Amen. The next was the blood that flowed from the slaps and the blows that disfigured his face. This blood gives us triumph over pride and vanity and rescues us from the yoke of reproach and rejection. It gives us the power to endure when people humiliate and mock us. It allows us to be like him during the loss of our reputation. It helps us to see the celestial divine side found when the beauty within us has been destroyed in order for his beauty to shine through our being. When your soul and your spirit are full of this beauty, man's words no longer matter. You can also receive the ability to love others in return when they despise you. And this is Matthew 26, 67, 68. Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists. And others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who was it that hit you? In Micah 5, 1b, they humiliate Israel's king, slapping him around like a rag doll. When I read that, oh my gosh, I was like, could you imagine our Lord just being slapped around like he's a rag doll, not even being able to defend himself, not defending himself at all, but just taking those blows for us. In Isaiah 52:14, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than any son of man. So here's where the Holy Spirit had spoken to me, and he said, Carol, you have to understand. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and you continue on, and it says, and then he became man, right? So the Word of God can become anything he wants to be, because when you speak, it creates, right? You've got the breath of God. You've got the creation right there. So let's go up to heaven for a second. Okay? So just imagine we're in heaven. There's a really big table in heaven. And it's got all the plans and everything that God has laid out. All right? Who's going to come to earth? When they're going to come to earth? What prophets are going to come? What they're going to say? All the scripts are all written out. Everything's already done. Right? And then the Father and the Word are talking and he says, all right, what do you think? He says, you know what? The devil used man to sin and now his flesh is dying. How about I become a human being? How about I take that same image and I use it to destroy him? Because he used it to destroy our beloved Adam and Eve and the generations afterwards. So he forms man very specifically in a very specific way. And now he says, you know what? We're going to use his hands for warfare. We're going to use his head for warfare. We're going to use his back for warfare. We're going to use his side for warfare. We're going to use his beard for warfare. Every significant part of the human body, we are going to use against the devil. And Jesus Christ is going to allow the devil to even destroy himself by using his body. I mean, when you think about it, it's not by accident. Every single thing that was done to Jesus Christ, if you read, and I'm actually reading them to you, was already written in Scripture, foretold. Everything. To the very little detail of the hands. Jesus knew exactly, if you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he knew, he kept telling them over and over again, what it is he was going to do, how he was the bread of life, how he was going to give himself. He even told the Pharisees, you're going to hang me. You're going to put me up there like Moses. He told everybody. He wasn't shocked. He wasn't surprised. And then he went ahead and did it. And duh, the devil said, oh, if we had only known. You know what he didn't know? What he didn't know was underneath the flesh, inside the veins of Jesus Christ, which was the blood that came from the Father. So every time the whip came down, what was opening up? The flesh. What was being released? The blood. The power. When he put that crown on the, you know, prophesy to us, King of Kings, right? You're the King of Israel. Prophesy. Who hit you now? He didn't even realize he was destroying his own kingdom that he thought he was going to have forever on earth. I just think that was so amazing, you know, when the Lord had showed me that. So everything was pre-planned before it happened. Okay? So the next thing we go to is the blood was shed when pieces of his beard were pulled out. His beard speaks of the priesthood. Through this blood, we claim the lost priesthood that permits us to minister before his presence. It is from Jesus' beard that his anointing ascends down upon his entire body, as it occurred with Aaron the high priest. So in Psalm 133:2, it is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. I think it was interesting tonight that Pastor Barbara had stopped everyone when they were worshiping and saying, you know, hey, you need to get it together. Because I actually have that down in my notes. The Lord told me to tell you, you know, you take worshiping me for granted. But the only reason why we can come before the Lord and we can wave our flags and we can dance our dance and we can sing our songs is because of what he did. Back in the days of Jesus, women weren't even allowed. I mean, the men were allowed in there, but the women were separate from the men. Certainly weren't taken seriously for anything. Now, we can go before the Lord whenever we want. And this is a fulfillment of John 4:21. How many of you know the story of the woman at the well? All of you do, right? I hope. Okay, because I'm going to skip through the whole thing and go to the bottom. Okay, so Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, and she's a Samaritan, and why are you talking to me, Jesus? You don't talk to me, you know, you're a Jew, and da-da-da-da. And the woman says to him, this is verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Ha! Guess what, woman? They're going to be worshiping in Delaware at the Lighthouse Church. Imagine him telling that to her, huh? Amen to that. So think about it. He was thinking about us when he was speaking to her. Cool, huh? Okay. The blood shed during the whipping that tore his back. With this blood, we drink the victory over all disease in our physical body. Just as Jesus took away our sins, he suffered in order to carry in his body all our sickness and pain. Jesus never got sick. He was also a man without sin, which protected his body so the devil could not touch him. Satan can only touch fallen nature due to sin. The prince of evil wanted to destroy Jesus with all kinds of sickness, but he couldn't. If you remember, Jesus was having a conversation with Satan, and he looks him right in the face and he says, "You have nothing in me." When Jesus was on the cross, Jesus covered himself with sin, attracting to himself all sickness, and he carried it to death through his own death. So could you imagine, here he is, covered with blood, attracting sickness. He must have attracted demons from miles around. Must have wanted to try to come and devour him that day. This is one of the more powerful things that happened at Calvary, and that gives us the possibility of living a life full of health. It would be difficult for a body continually washed with the blood of Jesus to become sick. God is calling us in this generation to enter and possess all that Jesus has for us. But again, the Lord wanted me to stress this with you. We need to continue to push, to strive, to contend, to believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believe the Lord had also told me to tell you that you need to be really honest with him. I mean, you need to have a heart-to-heart talk. He already knows everything about you anyway. If you're having a problem with something in your life, my goodness, just go before him and say, "Hey, look, you know, I have a problem with this. I can't handle it. I can't do it. I can't believe it, or I can't stop this." And he will help you. But if you run and you hide, then that's what you've done. And he's not going to chase after you. He'll call you, but he won't chase after you. So Isaiah 53:4-5, "Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, or stripe, we are healed." The next one was the blood produced by the crown of thorns. This blood crowned him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The devil was mocking man that he had lost his kingship on earth. But what he didn't realize was he was losing his kingship on earth. It gave him victory. It gives us victory over the devil's empire. This blood conquers the government of the earth. This gives us the position of kings and the ability to govern with Christ. This blood conquered strongholds in the spirit world and in the mind of man. We are able to appropriate for ourselves the conscience of Christ. So Jesus believed everything that was written about him. He knew that everything he was in the spirit had to invade his entire human nature until he became Christ in his whole being. He trained his mind. It was interesting because Pastor Barbara tonight was talking about the mind. She says, you need to be careful about what you think of, right? I was in the shower tonight getting ready. God said, you need to be careful about what you think of. You need to keep, what does it say? Keep your mind stayed on me, right? So I remember somebody's, it doesn't matter what you think. You know what it does? Because your brain is kind of like your computer. And what you program your brain to think is what it starts thinking. And after a while, you start thinking this stuff automatically. Your program of your brain just runs all the time. Jesus trained his mind to be subject to the Spirit in order for him to see himself as he really was. That's what we need to do. We need to train our mind. He was Christ, the Son of God. Likewise, through fellowship with his blood, we allow the truth of who we are to penetrate our mind until we literally become everything that is written about us. Don't you think it's cool that I just got done reading about the woman at the well? Wasn't that us? I mean, that's absolutely amazing. Read the book of Acts. We're all in it, you know? Well, we're all through the Bible. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ through the weapons of the Spirit. Matthew 27:29-30. And after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They knelt down before him, mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. Sometimes I think we need a little clunking on our head. Oh, Lord, not too hard, please. All right, the blood shed from the wounds caused by the nails. For this blood we receive triumph over iniquity, sin, and our crooked ways. This blood opens the way of righteousness, restoring the paths of our destiny. It opens the road to carry the gospel where there's no path or any way to get there. I had something really interesting happened to me last night. I went to the store, and on the way home from the store, I heard the Lord say, stop at the church. I'm like, okay, gosh, God, that's very spontaneous. I do have milk in the car, but if you say okay, we'll do it. So I stop at the church, and I like to do flags. So I was doing flags, and I was just kind of in the spirit realm and just doing really cool and soaring and started speaking in tongues, and things just started to happen. And the Lord just started imparting into me things that he wanted me to share with you and just revelation. And then when I was done, I left. And I was about to go home. And the Lord said, go across the street and go get some ice cream. I'm like, Lord, I really don't feel like eating ice cream, which is rare. He said, no, go get an ice cream. So I go across the street, and there's a huge mob of people. There must have been about at least 50, 60 people there. And I tend to run away from mobs of people. I don't usually go into them. So I get ice cream, and the Lord says, don't leave, stand. Just stand there. And I'm standing there feeling very uncomfortable while everybody's talking and gabbing and knows each other. In about 10 minutes, he says, okay, you can leave. I leave, and there's a truck with a little cute little black dog in there, and I just can't resist. So I go over and I pet the dog and I start talking to the people. Lo and behold, the power of God falls right there at the ice cream place. We start talking about heaven. We start talking about salvation. We start talking about the Holy Spirit, about healing, about all these marvelous, amazing things. We are the ones who need to change the atmosphere. When we enter a certain place, When we bring the Holy Spirit, he'll change everything. Because all of a sudden, this couple who I didn't know, the husband's all lit up, wanting to hear about miracles, wanting to hear about what God's doing. The wife is, and it's just like, what an open door of opportunity to share the gospel. So when the Lord leads you to do these awkward little things, which you think may are kind of whatever, go ahead and do them. Step out. See what happens. It's kind of fun, really. Because now I know two people in this town. As I remember you guys. Okay. So this is Isaiah 53:11. I don't know why. I guess God just likes it when you share a testimony, because it's him moving and it must apply to somebody out there. So I just... Okay, Isaiah 53:11, by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Isaiah 59:3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. This blood heals the earth contaminated with our iniquities. Do you ever think about the fact, you know, human beings need to be redeemed, but did you know that the earth has to be redeemed too? No, nobody ever talks about that. But, you know, I think it was really interesting. Jesus dies on the cross. His blood is pouring down on the earth. You've got a big earthquake, which I'm sure probably some of the blood went into the ground real deep. And then what happens? The people who are in the grave, it says the saints who are sleeping, rise from the grave. Could you imagine your uncle, who is a saint, knocking on your door, opening the door, saying, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And you know, it kind of makes me wonder, it doesn't talk about what happened to him afterwards. I kind of wonder if any of them are still hanging around. You never know. Might still be preaching about Jesus. So the blood does, it does, it redeems the earth. Psalm 58:2, on earth you weigh out the violence of your hands. And number seven, the blood shed from his side when pierced by the spear. Fellowship with the blood of Jesus is going to allow us to know him intimately. The spear pierced all the way into his heart. It will begin to transform us so that we're able to penetrate the most sensitive parts of God's heart. When you pray, when you worship, have you ever wondered about touching God's heart or how God feels in his heart about you being with him? Did you ever think about that? It's always, let's talk to him. Let's do it this way. But we never think about how he's perceiving it, how he loves us, how he wants to be with us. The blood will begin to transform us so that we're able to penetrate the most sensitive parts of his heart. This is one of the greatest privileges which a human being can aspire. God will only open this part of his being to those he considers his bride. His bride is the one who desires him above all else. She goes wherever he goes. She follows him because of who he is and not because of what he can bless her with. So to cap it all off, this is what the Lord had given me this. It's kind of a summary of things of which it is I shared with you and more things in it that I haven't had the opportunity. So with the blood of Jesus, you can receive as much as you want according to the revelation you're willing to go after. The blood goes as deep as you allow it. It is brighter than a noonday sun and is pure life. The Spirit of God flows through it. It washes away sin, purifies the darkest heart, gives new life to the deadliest sinner. It is not of this world. It is supernatural. It never stops flowing. It's never tainted, but is in its purest form. It carries the light of Christ, and it speaks. If the devil had known the awesome power of the blood encased in the veins of Jesus, he would never have ripped open his back and body. Think about it. Jesus Christ defeated Satan from behind with his back against the cross, hands and feet nailed, and all the while facing humanity in his nakedness and love, drawing all people unto him. The greatest power ever done on this earth was the battle done on the cross in his love. Amen. So, I just want you to just kind of close your eyes right now and just think about the revelations that the Lord has given you tonight. Some of you may need to receive the blood of Jesus in all seven different ways. Some of you may need to receive it in one specific way in which the Lord has been talking to about. I want you to just talk to Jesus right now. Tell him what you need. Just get honest with him right now. I'm just going to give you a few minutes. This is what I see right now. And I'm going to pray it. There's someone or someones here that have lost that fire, that love, that intimacy, that flaming hot desire for Jesus. I see a heart. It's beating. But encased around the heart is a thick rock. And what I ask you, Lord Jesus, tonight, that as you shook the earth and opened the ground with that earthquake, that tonight you will break that stone, that rock that's encased around the heart. And I pray that your blood will pour in it tonight. I ask you that that rock will just fall off right now. Just let your blood encase that person or person's heart. I see a liver, an enlarged liver. Jesus, I ask you right now, just soak and saturate this liver in your blood. I heard the word fear. When you are standing next to Jesus, Jesus says, there is no fear here. Everyone, keep your eyes closed. If there's anyone here in this room that is experiencing fear of any kind, just raise your hand. Okay, I want you to come up. Come on up right here. And I want you right now to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, right now we just consecrate these elements We know that in the natural, their juice and their bread. But tonight, we receive them in the spirit realm by faith. Some even by desperateness, and that's okay. To be your body and your blood, to minister to us tonight. So when you're ready, I want you to come up and take the bread and the juice. Just go right back to your spot right there. And receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And say, Jesus, I receive you. And I release all fear. Because I know you are my Savior. You are my Messiah. And you are going to take care of me. And then what else, whatever else God has for you to pray, or whatever else you want to pray for him, just come on up and receive it right now. And you just take it when you're ready. You just talk to the Lord. Okay, if when the Lord was speaking to you today, whatever that specific thing or things that he was speaking to you about that you could receive the body and blood for, come on up, whatever it is that you needed. And then I heard the Lord say, anyone who wants more of him, come on up.